Go to the Word of God. May I ask you to pray with me and ask the Lord to bless our time together. Lord, we thank you so much, oh God, for this wonderful day that you have given us, oh God, we can say yes to hope. That, Lord, in our lives, oh God, although we experience difficulties, we experience trials and temptations and things, oh God, that sometimes out of control, we know, God, that we can say yes to you. We know, God, that we can follow you wherever you want us to go. That we may, Lord God, be led to the right path, to the right direction, to the right decisions of God in our life. And Lord, we thank you, God, even as we celebrate Christmas. Lord God, may we know the true message of Christmas, of God. This is saying yes to Jesus. This is saying, yes, Lord, I will follow you wherever you want us to go. For you are the reason, O God, for Christmas, O God. May we celebrate, Lord God, the reason why you came here, that we may lead a life, O God, that is pleasing to you, O God. And Lord, we thank you that we can get ready, O God, for the celebration of Christmas, O God. As today, as we Lord, we receive your word. May your word speak to us, O God, today. May the Holy Spirit, O God, enlighten our hearts and our minds, O God, that we may understand what it means to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. If you can open your Bibles once again to our text today, which is in the book of Matthew 1, verse 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Now, we have been talking about hope for the last four Sundays. And I believe hope is what we need today, not only today, but what they need before when they were expecting a Savior, when they were expecting the coming of the Messiah. And I believe in this world we are living in today, in this world where there is chaos, there is hopelessness, there's so much division and struggles around us everywhere we go, the message of hope is what the world needs today. And we have been talking about hope, how to get ready for hope. In the first Sunday of Advent, we talk about being ready, getting ready for the coming of our hope. And we learn that for us to be ready for the coming of our hope, we must be faithful to Him. To be ready for the coming of our hope, we must be faithful to God. And then on the second Sunday of Advent, we talk about, are we really ready? Because sometimes we think we are ready, we are not really ready. There are some things that needs to be changed, that needs to be transformed in our life in order to get ready for the coming of the Messiah, for the coming of the Lord. So we talk about repentance. Repentance is turning away from sin and turning to God. And then the third Sunday of Advent, we talk about totally trusting in God, even in unexpected circumstances. We talk about the story of John the Baptist, that in spite of his faithfulness to God, he was tested. Things did not go the way he expected to happen. So he doubted God's promise. But God corrected him and brought him back to through the knowledge of the truth, through the promises of God. And so he returned to hope. And today we're going to talk about saying yes to hope. I believe if there's anything that we need to do nowadays in this time and season that we're living in, it is something that we must do every day in our life, saying yes to hope. You know, there's something that is difficult to do. If you realize it only now, the most difficult thing to do is to follow Jesus wherever he wants us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How many of you realize that it is difficult to follow Jesus wherever he wants us to go? I didn't say it is easy to follow Jesus because it is hard. As we can see in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 1, we can see that Matthew is saying that the first followers of Jesus Christ, the first person who followed God's will in their life, had a difficult circumstance in their life. So it's easy, it's not easy to follow Jesus. You know, some people follow Jesus whenever it is easy. Whenever a lot of people are following him and doing the things that God wants them to do. But when it's hard, when you stand alone in your faith, when you swim upstream, when the going gets tough, when nobody is standing behind you and saying, come on, let's go, let's move forward, that's when they quit and fall behind. The question is, when the going gets tough, will you still follow Jesus? To go after all in or all the way with Jesus, you have to be strong. Or you have to have a strong grasp on why it is worth it. The question that you and I should ask ourselves is Jesus worth? Is following Jesus worth? Is it worth to follow Jesus or not? As we can see in Matthew chapter 1, he will show us that although it is difficult to follow Jesus, we can find a motivation to follow him as Joseph and Mary found why it is worth to follow Jesus. Let me continue reading our text today. In verse 19, it says, her husband, Joseph, when he learned that Mary was pregnant, being a just man and willing to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now let's talk about the betrothal. You know, there was a Jewish custom known as kiddushin. I don't know if I would pronounce this right. In the custom of betrothal, a young man and his fiancée would get legally married, but they have to wait for 1 year before they are allowed to live together. One of the reasons why they wait for 1 year is to make sure that the girl was pure. You see, in those days, marriages are arranged, set up by their parents. So they choose, the parents get to choose the bride. Well, during the betrothal period, Mary showed up to be pregnant. Can you imagine for a minute how painful and humiliating this was for Joseph?
What would you do if you hear your girlfriend or your wife that you just married, but haven't been allowed to live with yet, is pregnant? What would you do? Joseph, of course, does not believe her at first. But Joseph, being a good guy and kind and godly, he thought to break the betrothal quietly. And you know what happened? An angel appeared to him in a dream and revealed to him that who Jesus is. And what happened, why Mary was pregnant. But the question that I have for you and me is, why did God do it this way? And if you imagine what happened to Joseph and Mary, it ruined their reputations. You know, the angel did not show up and explain the situation to everybody else. He did not send out a news bulletin to Politico or some news article to tell the world what happened or what's going on in the life of Mary. So nobody knows except Mary and Joseph. So everyone else from that point thought that Mary was an impure girl. And when Joseph married her, it seemed like he is confessing that the baby was actually his. So the pregnancy ruined both of their reputations. Not only that, they eventually had to flee from their land because of Jesus. Well, the question is, why did God do it this way? I think the Holy Spirit is laying out a pattern from the birth of Jesus, how God's people will have to follow him. Or God's people will have to follow Jesus. Now let me read verse 20. But as he considered these things, speaking about Joseph, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear in taking Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Now let me give you four elements from the life of Joseph about following Jesus. And I will show you where Joseph got the strength that he needed to follow Jesus, or to follow God during the time. You know, Joseph is not just an inspiring figure from the past. I believe he is a compelling example for the present. So what can we see from the life of Joseph? In other words, what following Jesus really looks like? Number one, following Jesus means trusting and obeying God absolutely. So if you want to follow Jesus, it means that you will trust him and you will obey him absolutely. Meaning, no question asked. Because you trust and obey, and you know that God has what's best for you. So trusting and obeying God absolutely meaning you believe that it's possible and risk your life and risk everything. And that's what Joseph did. He believed the impossible and risked everything on him. Now how about if you are that person that God called to leave your family, to leave your homeland, and go to a place you do not know, and leave your prosperous career to carry the gospel to that place. You know, you don't go to a place that you don't know just because you love that foreign culture. How about the missionaries who are commissioned to preach the gospel to another country? Why would they do that? Not because they love to travel. Not because they want to go to a place that they do not know, they are excited about traveling. It is because they are convinced that Jesus is Lord and that His kingdom is worth it and they are surrendered by Him. I know a lot of you have made a lot of sacrifices to go all in for God, spiritually, financially. You know, you sacrifice everything to God. And the only reason you will do that is because you believe that Jesus is the Messiah. You believe that Jesus is worthy, that He was raised from the dead, and His promises are true, and that His kingdom is eternal. Now, if you struggle being sacrificial, let me tell you why you struggle in being sacrificial. It's because you lack confidence in the promises of the unseen God. People who lack confidence in God's promises will be committed to God from time to time, but they will never give a sustained sacrificial way to God. In other words, sometimes they are committed, sometimes they are not. If you are truly committed to God, you will not struggle being sacrificial. You will sacrifice your time, you will sacrifice your money, you will sacrifice everything because you know He is worth it. How about an engineer who gave up his prosperous career to preach the gospel? You know, when I decided to follow Jesus, my parents thought I was crazy. Because I had a bright future as an electronics and computer engineer. But when I saw that it's worth to follow Jesus than following my own plans and desires, that's where the world thinks you're crazy. But as we can see here, Joseph saw something in Jesus, in God's plan, that convinced him to follow God's plan for him. Following Jesus, really following Jesus, is not just playing religious games. It means absolute trust in the unseen God. But that's the first thing that happened to Joseph. He was absolutely obedient to God and trusting in God's promises. Following God also means acceptance of a death sentence. Now, literally speaking, Mary's out of wedlock pregnancy is a literal death sentence in the Jewish law. Under the Jewish law, when you get pregnant, out of wedlock, they can stone you to death. So it's literally a death sentence for Mary. And beyond that, Mary and Joseph had to die to their good name, their cherished dreams, their families, and their homelands. And sometimes God is going to direct you to go somewhere and do what other people will not understand. And they will tell you that you are crazy and forbid you. And the question is, who are you going to obey? Who are you going, what are you going to choose? Do I obey God or do I please my family, my parents? And sometimes it's going to feel like a debt. Luke chapter 14, verse 26 says, anyone who comes after me and does not hate his father or mother or wife or children or brothers or sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Am I saying that if you follow Jesus, you have to hate all your family? That is not what God is saying. God is saying you must love me more than anyone or more than anything. That means you have to give up. Sometimes you have to give up your dreams. You have to give up your desires. You have to give up everything because you want to follow Jesus. So following Jesus means acceptance of a death sentence. Another definition of following Jesus is self-denial. If you want to follow Jesus, the Bible says, if you would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In verse 25, it tells us that Joseph did not know Mary or have sexual relations with her until after the birth of Jesus. Not only did he wait for 1 year in betrothal, he waited another year after the birth of Jesus Christ. That's 2 years. Following Jesus means denying yourself some of the things that you might otherwise enjoy. Is God killed joy? No. There are people who are not willing to wait and they are not even married. Joseph was married and waited because he was the will of God. If you are going to follow Jesus, you have to consent to do the things His way, even if it means denying yourself some of the things that otherwise that you might otherwise have. So are you willing to deny yourself? Take up your own cross and follow Him. Another meaning of following Jesus is willingness to embrace inconvenience. Especially here in America, we love convenience. That's why we have convenience stores. We have everything seems to be easy. Everything is automated. Everything is supposed to be easy. So, are we willing to embrace inconvenience? Do you realize how much Jesus' birth complicated Joseph's life? He messed up his relationship with his family, his friends, his job. Eventually, he had to move and start all over again. Serving Jesus is rarely convenient. You know, many people don't volunteer in church because they think it's not convenient. They say, well, I have to work 1 week every day. I have to work Monday to Friday, 40 hours a week, sometimes 50, sometimes 60 hours a week. Then I have to take care of my kids. I don't have time. And the people who serve in the church don't do that because it is convenient. Amen? But because they are committed to Jesus. example of that is the Thursday prayer meeting. You know, when you get to the prayer meeting, sometimes you don't want to go because you're tired. You have work of the 8 hours, and when you come, you have to stay for one more hour so that you can pray and intercede for people. That is not convenient. I know that every ministry is for every person, but do you have a ministry that is inconvenient for you? If not, I would say that there is really a good chance that you are not following Jesus. Taking care of others in the community of the church is never convenient. But you do ministry, or you minister to another person, not because it is convenient. You do it for one reason. And one reason alone: God told us to care for one another, to love one another, to pray for one another, to minister to one another. You know, sharing Jesus to others is not convenient at all. Getting to know people who are not like you, who don't share your background, takes intentionality. To bring people that you don't know, that don't belong to your race, that you don't even know is inconvenience. If we have to come to church to worship and sing songs that we do not know, or that is not our favorite, that is not convenient. That we must be willing to embrace inconvenience to follow Jesus. To become a people of God, one that God wants us to embrace inconvenience for the sake of the mission. Our priority is not convenience, but the mission of God. Can you say amen? And four things that I saw in the life of Joseph are trust and absolute obedience, acceptance of a sentence of death, self-denial, and willingness to embrace obedience. The question is, where does Joseph got that strength? Where does Joseph got the strength that he had during those times of inconvenience? You know, I believe every one of you have the capacity to sacrifice. It has to do with your perception or awareness of the reward. So where does the strength to follow Jesus come from? I see two. Number one is a calf promise. And number two is a remarkable name. Two things: a calf promise and a remarkable name. What is the first word that was spoken to Joseph by the angel? The word "behold." He said, "Behold," you know, the word "behold" in Greek means "look at this." The angel was saying to Joseph, "Joseph, look at this, behold. Because when you see this, you will have the strength to do what I am asking you." And sometimes we miss what God wants us to see because we are not looking at what God wants us to see. And what is the angel telling him to look at? The angel is telling Joseph to look at the promises of God, the kept promise of God. You know, this word was spoken by the angel came from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. A promise of God. He said in verse 23, he said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means "God with us." This is taken from Isaiah 7, verse 14. Originally, this prophecy was given to King Ahaz. If you don't know King Ahaz, you can read that later. to King Ahaz in Judah in 700 BC, where the armies of Syria was about to attack and destroy the kingdom of Israel. Well, because Ahaz was so wicked, he knew and he did not believe that God would help him. And so he despaired. He worried a lot because he knows that they would be destroyed. But word came from the prophet Isaiah, saying God is not going to allow the kingdom to be destroyed because God wanted to keep the promises of God to Abraham. You know what Isaiah, what Ahaz said? No, I don't want a sign. I don't want a word from God. But God says to Isaiah, you don't make the rules, I will give you a sign. And the sign is in Isaiah 7 verse 14, he said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You know, during the time, the interpretation of this prophecy was kind of a mystery. It's like, this is a misplaced prophecy. But they only understood this when Jesus was born of Mary. When the scriptures spoke about a virgin, a woman who had never had a sexual relationship with a man, who received a baby. And we call that a miraculous birth. It is a promise of God to deliver Israel from all their fears to fulfill the promise of God to Abraham. In that moment, Joseph saw that God was faithful to keep the promises that he had made. And this is how I see it. If God keeps all his promises then, he will keep his promises now. Can you say amen? Amen. If God has promised you that I will be with you, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, that means he will never leave you nor forsake you. The question is God active in the world today? If you ask, where is God in my life? Is he really out there? Is he really active in my life? Yes, he is. Amen. Probably sometimes you don't see him doing the things that he needs to do in your life because you are so caught up with the worldly affairs, with your needs, with your problems, with your worries, with all the things in the world. You don't see God in the midst of your life. Your trust in God should not be based on how well he fulfilled your expectations, but based on the signs that he has left for you. And what is the sign? Behold, a virgin shall be seen. And Joseph was able to see that the promises of God are true. Because he knew the Word of God. Obviously, he knew the Scripture. He knew the Bible. He knew the Word of God. And so he stood on the promises of God. He did not waver in faith because he believed the Word of God is true. And the Word of God is fulfilled. You know, the strength of your faith cannot exceed the knowledge. So it's not only the promise that was kept, it was also a remarkable name that was revealed to him. He gave Joseph two names, Jesus and Emmanuel. Well, if you will ask me, what is the name of Jesus? Is it Jesus or is it Emmanuel? Well, Jesus, the name of Jesus means what he does. The name Jesus actually means what he does.
Amen. And that remarkable name gave Joseph a picture of the glory of God. When God revealed the name Jesus and Emmanuel to Joseph, he saw the glory of God. Well, God is with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He is my Savior. And when he saw those two names, he saw the picture of the glory of God. And the most important doctrine of Christianity is that Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. He's not half God and half man. He's 100% God and 100% man. He was born of a human Mary, so that he was fully man. But he was a virgin born, conceived by the Holy Spirit, so he was fully God. Why was he born man? He was born of man because he had to be man to be a true representative on the cross. He lived the life we're supposed to live and died the death we're supposed to be condemned. He took our place on the cross as our representative, that only God, through Jesus Christ, can do. He's not only 100% man, he's also 100% God. The only one capable of saving us was God. Because salvation belongs to God. And God does not contract salvation to some lesser being. He has to be God. And the whole point of God's creation is that all of us, God wants us to have a relationship with him. You know, in the Garden of Eden, God walked with Adam and Eve. During the time when Israel was walking in the desert, God led them out of the slavery of Egypt with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In other words, in all the scripture, the revelation of God is, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. When Jesus left this earth, he gave us the Holy Spirit so that he can be with us forever and ever. What is this saying to us? Well, it's saying to us today that we have to see what Joseph saw. And what did Joseph saw? He saw the promise of God. A kept promise of God. And he saw that remarkable name of Jesus and Emmanuel, God with us. The promise and the name of Jesus silenced the voices of doubt in Joseph's mind. The only thing that will give you the power to forsake all and follow Jesus is the joy of the treasure of the promise of God, which is more than the fame of sacrifice. Remember, the Bible says Jesus, because of the promise of every one of you being in the presence of God, he endured the cross, despising the shame. What do you think would happen if Joseph did not choose this route? What if he chose the easy route, not leave the angel, divorce Mary, and cast her aside, marry a different girl? Guess what? He might have gotten the wedding that he wanted. He may have a nice little carpentry business that he would have missed. Now guess what happens when you choose the easy life? What if you choose not to forgive, not to sacrifice? You miss God's best for you. You will only experience God's best, if you do it God's way. You know what does Joseph's life tell you and me? It's worth it. God keeps his promises. Jesus is worth the pain, the shame, and the shock that brings, even if death comes. He's worth it. He's worth it. Jesus is worth it. Can you say it?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for giving us a promise that you will never, ever, ever leave us, nor forsake us. Lord, you told us when you left this earth, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Lord, even at times we are lonely, even at times, oh God, that we don't know what's going on, we know, God, that we can rely on your promises. We can rely on the promises of God. That all the promises of God are yes, they are in. Lord, thank you that you have given us a remarkable name, the name of Jesus. The name that is above every name, that every knee shall bow, that every tongue shall confess, that Jesus is Lord. And you have given us the promise that you are the Emmanuel, the God who is with us. Lord, thank you for giving us the promises. Lord, may we see what Joseph saw. Lord, thank you so much. We give you all the glory, all the praise. In Jesus' name.